when you understand the power of constantly moving forward and that there is a solution to any problem, things will work themselves out. It's just a matter of how long and when.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. All right. Welcome to another episode of Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. So glad that you are here and coming back. Another one of my favorite episodes because I get to bring you one of my friends who I've met along the way of life. Now, as you know, I love to listen to podcasts and I have dogs and I love to walk the dogs. And so as I was listening to a podcast a while back of one of my favorite podcasts of Shayna Rucker, I heard her interview a gentleman named Scott Aaron, and I liked what they had to say and what he had to say because he was talking about LinkedIn. And as many of you know, I do have a wellness business in the network marketing space. And, you know, we do a lot of connection on Facebook and on Instagram. And I didn't know too much about LinkedIn. So I was intrigued by what Scott had to say and how we can, you know, just have different connections over on LinkedIn. And so I connected with him after the podcast and actually got a little training from him on how to, again, do that marketing on LinkedIn, and have continued to follow him and follow his podcast and follow what he does on LinkedIn as well as other social media platforms, and really hold him in high regard for what he does and how he serves other people. So as my podcast got launched, I reached out and said, hey, let's help each other out and get on each other's podcast. So here we are today with Scott. And just before he begins, just a bio on him. Again, he's a great dude out there in the space and really teaching a lot of people. Internationally acclaimed and award-winning network marketer, author, podcaster, and speaker. Scott Aaron is a go-to specialist when it comes to converting traffic, establishing connections, creating residual income using linked leads generation, and building personal brands. Scott's very passionate about helping fellow network marketers achieve success while building their own network organically and without complication and not spending a lot of money. His programs have helped thousands of network marketers, entrepreneurs, and individuals experience explosive growth following his LinkedIn Accelerator. And I'll make sure that in the show notes, you know how to connect with him as well. But for today, welcome, Scott.
Thank you so much, and just grateful to be here. And again, this is the power of podcasting because, you know, Shayna was a referral from a mutual friend of ours, and then she worked with me, and then she said, let's do a pod swap, which we did, and you listened to the podcast, and then we connected, and then we did some work together, and now here we are, you know, supporting each other, and now on your podcast, and I just... Again, you know, I teach LinkedIn, but I focus more on the art of human connection, which is a very, very powerful business tool. And this is just a prime example of that. So just truly grateful for you and your friendship and the opportunity to be here today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm honored. And I'm honored to have you here. And I actually spoke with Shayna yesterday, did a little Zoom connection with her. And just again, honored, you know, like, where am I? You know, it's like, wow, this is really cool that this is happening. And, you know, that's what I share with my team and my fellow network marketers. I said, you know, this is the power of how you can connect by putting yourself out there. And, you know, as I connected with you and said, hey, let's do a podcast swap, you know, I said, do you have a story, you know, of addiction, eating disorder, juggling chaos? And of course, everybody has a story. So I was intrigued by what you had to say. So I thought, well, at least start out by tell the listeners kind of, again, a little bit about you and about your story, about growing up and how you kind of got to where you're at today.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in a very traditional, you know, Jewish household, which means you have a very overbearing mother. She still is. I still have to text her all my flight itinerary when I do travel, and I have to text her when I land. And again, I'm grateful for that. And you know, I did have an overbearing upbringing. I had a wonderful childhood, but a lot of my battles were fought for me. So I did really develop some low self-esteem because I didn't really know how to stand up for myself. And I did deal with some bullying and getting picked on. And it led to, honestly, some other issues that I never really knew I had at the time. But then looking back, you know, we always look back on our journey and we circle back around to see the bumps and the bruises that we took along the way that, you know, formed the people that we are today and the obstacles that we had to overcome. And I learned a lot about two things. Number one, being resilient in life and also overcoming obstacles. And I had to deal with a lot of personal things growing up as a kid. But when I was a teenager, I would say that it was I faced the greatest challenge of my life. And I think you heard this story, and for the listeners that don't know it, is when I was 18, my father got incarcerated for 2.5 years for a insurance fraud scam that he was a part of for a company that he worked for. And at the time, he had just started his own business. It was a fitness club in downtown Philadelphia. And unbeknownst to me, that business was going to be turned over to me. At 18 and a half, I had to take over the family business, not having any training, any skill, any knowledge of running a business, number one. Number two, leading people, especially as a teenager. I was a kid. But three, understanding what you had to do to become successful. And that's something that you can't teach that in school. I was going to college still. I was at the University of Pittsburgh, and I transferred home and started going to the university, Temple University in downtown Philadelphia, while still running the gym full time. But it was honestly one of the best things that could ever happen to me because I learned a lot about myself. And I guess it's very timely that I'm talking about this now with the pandemic that's going on. And you and I were talking in the pre-show about this, is that what I realized about resiliency and overcoming obstacles is that, you know, for the things that I went through as a kid, but also as a teenager and as a young adult, even as into adulthood, when you develop that resilient muscle, when you develop that muscle memory of overcoming obstacles, no matter what happens in life, whatever's going on globally, locally, nationally, you know, personally, when you understand the power of constantly moving forward and that there is a solution to any problem, things will work themselves out. It's just a matter of how long and when. And what I can share with you, you know, obstacles are always going to be faced. There's never going to be a time in your life where something is not going to come up. And, you know, between my father's incarceration to going through two divorces before I was 35 years old, the second divorce, I ended up having a now 7.5-year-old little boy, Taylor, who's just the best, one of the best things that's ever happened to me, becoming a father. But, you know, making millions by selling both of my gyms, losing millions by financing the third gym the wrong way, you know, losing a house in, you know, selling a property, having to file for personal bankruptcy just 4 years ago, to rebounding, to having the successful business that I have now. There's a lot of ups and downs, but you can let your story define you, or you can get inspired by what's happened to then inspire others. And that's what I really seek to do now, is to storytell and to share stories. And it's not always about work. You know, work is just a part of what we do and why we do it. But life is the most meaningful thing, and how we go through life and how we grow through life. And that's why I love sharing my story so openly and honestly, because I want people to know that you're not alone. You know, you may think sitting and listening to this right now that you're the only person that's going through this, but you're not. You know, there's always someone else that's had a similar life experience as you. And that's what's so impactful, is that we're never alone and we always have someone to lean on to carry us through those most difficult times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's awesome. Every time I hear your story, it is talk about ups and downs and talk about juggling. And that's, you know, really was the reason why I wanted to start this podcast, to make, you know, to just connect with people and help them realize that, yeah, they're not alone. They don't have to feel alone in their battle of life or their journey of life. And, you know, as I've dealt with and been so closely involved in the struggles with my daughter and my family the last 5 years, you know, when you deal with addictions, when you deal with eating disorders and mental health issues, I mean, you feel completely out of control as a mom or a dad or sibling or friend or whatever. And as I think about this pandemic, and that's not what we're talking about today, but I think it's important to note that we know what to do right now, right? We can wash our hands and we can take our vitamin C and get some sleep and send some love to our friends, and we know what to do. And so I feel like this isn't a big deal. But when you're dealing with, you know, again, mental health issues and those struggling around you, that you just feel like you wish you could give them a list and, hey, do this, and it's guaranteed that it's all over, that'd be great. But it's that's just not the way it works with that. So, you know, I've heard so many people, I've heard Brendon Burchard on stage, and, you know, you appreciate the mess you're in, basically. And, you know, what's the message through your mess? And it's hard sometimes to be sitting in your mess and see how you can get out of it. And even like you said, to feel like, wow, now I can really serve others. And there was a purpose in that. And it was a good, and it's good, right? I'm grateful that that mess happened. It's sometimes hard when you're in the midst of it. You know, you talked about with me too about, and you just shared, you know, about your father and your mother. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about like relationships there, and, you know, how, like, even with your father going away, like how did that impact your relationship? Or even as you, because I would, knowing my upbringing and my parents, you know, going through divorce and, again, things happening in your life, like, how did that impact your relationship with your parents, individually, mom, dad?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was definitely a strain. I mean, there's so many deep levels. You know, my sister, we were both affected by it in a different way, because, you know, she was still in high school. She's 3 years younger than me. And I was now in the workforce. And, you know, my mom would go visit my dad on Saturdays, and Blair and I would go visit him on Sundays. We had our own day with him. And, you know, I remember I would bring the gym reports and go over all the members that signed up and the numbers. And basically that's how I kind of kept him in the loop. And it you know, you made the best 2.5 years. It seems like a long time, but it did go by really fast. But, you know, there were some things that, you know, he missed. He missed me turning 21. You know, he missed my sister's high school graduation. So there's some things that, you know, he definitely regrets, but definitely learned from that. But it's if he didn't do what he did, it never would have gotten me into entrepreneurship. So I'm grateful for it. And, you know, all the shit that happened throughout the process, all of the financial issues, because obviously I had to take on the burden of that because my parents' credit was bottomed out. You know, there was a lot of resentment. There was a lot of anger that I had towards my father. But it's so funny that this came up. So Nancy is converting to Judaism, and we had our first conversion class last night with the rabbi. And it was obviously through Zoom. So there's a bunch of couples. And, you know, he was going through the high holidays, which for people that are not familiar, it's Yom Kippur, which is the day that we fast, and Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And he was talking about some of the meanings of that. And he was talking about Ramdam, who was a prophecy in the 12th century. And he talked about, you know, the art of forgiveness. and forgiving people for things that they have done to you. And I remember working with a business coach, it was so important for him to say to me, you know, for you to move forward in your life, you can't carry this anger and resentment towards your father. Because there was about a year and a half where my father and I did not speak at all. And, you know, we worked together every day for about 16 years. And I ended up asking him to leave the gym and I took it over myself. And we didn't talk. You know, he didn't see my son for between his first and second birthdays. And that was also very difficult. But the other thing that I can tell you is that when I was able to step away from that whole aspect of anger and resentment, and I remember I called him from California. I was at an event. And I said, Dad, I just want to let you know, I don't want to hold on to this anger or resentment anymore. And I forgive you. And I just want to move forward. I would love to meet and get some coffee. I'm not ready right now. And I'll let you know when I am. And that basically opened the door. And, you know, our relationship has never been better. And, you know, he actually looks up to me. I inspired him to write his first book. And he's doing some online stuff now. But the other interesting thing is, you know, my parents got divorced when I was much older. I was 30 and my sister was 27. So my parents stayed together through my father's incarceration. You know, my mom will say, you know, I should have ended it then, but I didn't because I didn't want to hurt you guys. And obviously we would have been fine. We're resilient kids. But, you know, they stayed together for almost 8 years after he got out of prison. And it caused a lot of strain on their relationship emotionally, financially. And they, when they split, the interesting thing between, and this is the crazy thing that I don't really, I never really share this, between September of 2008 and February of 2009, my sister, myself, and my parents all got divorced. And so basically our family within 6 months completely fell apart. And there was a lot of rebuilding. And you know, again, that, you know, Blair ended up finding the love of her life and they now have two kids. And I found the love of my life and we're going to be getting married later this year. Both of my parents are re-engaged to their life partners. But I think when you go through something like this, it definitely takes a toll, but it's also a great learning lesson. And emotionally, it's something that, again, forgive, there is such, and I said this last night on this call with the rabbi, I said, you know, there is such power in forgiveness. And I think that's what people don't understand. And my mom still will have dinner and she'll say, I'm sorry that I put you all through this. I'm like, why are you apologizing? I said, do things seem pretty good for me right now? Did I turn out okay? And she said, yes. And I said, then you did a great job. And I said, Mom, it's not on you for how I'm going to live my life. I have to make my choices, but how I'm living my life right now is because of how you raised me as a kid. And I said, whatever happened, all that's, I wish I could take it back and you didn't have to go through any of that. I said, don't wish that, because I wouldn't be living the life that I'm living right now if you did take all that back. So everything, and this is what I want the listeners to understand, no matter what you're going through right now, everything has to happen the way that it is, because even you and I talked about in the pre-show with everything that's going on in the world right now, something beautiful and amazing is going to come out of what's going on right now. Something incredible is going to come out from what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, forgiveness is a big thing. And they say forgiveness isn't about the other person, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, forgiveness is a big thing. I mean, it's what I needed to hear today. I won't tell you exactly why, but that was some good words that I needed to hear. And I'm sure others did too. I want to talk a little bit about something also that you mentioned to me is, just kind of your struggles a little bit with, again, your self-image, your self-confidence, and kind of how you said something about how you came to better terms with food. I wanted you to expound on that because I thought that was interesting and something that I've been through myself as somebody that has had an eating disorder and knows that it just doesn't end, and that even though your self-confidence goes up, there's always a little bit of self-doubt. So
yeah, growing up, you know, the most interesting years of a girl and a boy growing up are the preteen years. I'd say that the most interesting years for people when they grow up is between 10 to 14 years old. There's a lot that happens. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I've talked about brain tattoo moments before where you just remember. I remember sitting in the lunchroom in sixth grade. And, you know, like no one ever watches what they eat at that point. And I used to eat like French fries that used to come in like the little plastic containers, and they would mm-hmm. pour out the top, and Nutter Butters, which were, you know, the wafers with the peanut mm-hmm. butter covered in chocolate. Mm-hmm. I would eat that for lunch. And I remember one day, I don't know why, but I looked down my shirt and I just saw rolls, like just roll after roll after roll. And it completely messed me up. And I didn't want to see that. So it was a combination of being afraid to eat junk food, but also going through a slight growth spurt. I was around, I think, 101 pounds in sixth grade. I wasn't tall. And between sixth and seventh grade, I lost about 25 pounds. I remember stepping on the scale every single day. My parents had to start hiding the scale. My father at some point had to start putting me on weight gainer shakes. And I developed this weird issue with food. I would not eat any junk food at all. I didn't have candy until I remember. And this is like when you have a food issue, you remember certain mm-hmm. moments.
Yep.
So when I started having issues in sixth grade with food, I was 12 years old. I didn't have a piece of junk food or candy until I was on vacation with my family when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I remember because we were in Palm Desert, California, and there's a Marriott in Palm Desert, and we were staying in the condos. It was my aunt and uncle, my cousins, us, my grandparents, and we were walking to have dinner, and it was during Christmas time. And we were walking to the main hotel, and I remember my sister grabbing like a couple pieces of candy from the front desk, and she offered me a piece, and my parents were watching me, because they knew that I had all these issues. And I think it might've been a Three Musketeers and I ate it. And I kind of started to break the habit. I learned about moderation, and then I was fine. But I did develop, like, you know, working out. I remember, cause I wanted a six pack. I always wanted a six pack. And I remember, you know, you have to be skinny to have a six pack. And I was always doing crunches, and I work out for a living, but I remember things got better, and then things got worse again when I actually started competing in bodybuilding years later. So it was kind of like suppressed, and I found the balance of food and everything else. And it was this wild ride, Moira. It was like, I remember before I started bodybuilding, I just wanted to get big. I wanted to be just a meathead. And I remember I ate a 48 ounce porterhouse before. And so I just wanted as much protein as possible. And you know, I got up to about 205 pounds, but I mean, I definitely had some fat, but I was, you know, definitely very muscly because I worked out and I did powerlifting. And then I started training for bodybuilding shows, and this definitely caused a little chain reaction, because when you diet for a bodybuilding show, you have to be ultra restrictive. So you have to weigh your food to the ounce. You have to measure your food to the quarter cup, and everything, and it's all in plastic containers. When I trained for my first bodybuilding show, it was 14 weeks. I went from 205 pounds to 171 pounds in 14 weeks.
Oh, dear.
I was, you know, 3% body fat. You can't have alcohol. You can't have any refined sugar, barely any fruit. And this messed me up again because I was that guy that would go out to a restaurant and say, instead of the starch, give me double vegetables and make sure it's in, just in Pam and don't cook it in oil and no salt on anything. As an adult, it started to get embarrassing because I couldn't just go out to a restaurant and just say, I want to order this as is. Mm-hmm. So after I went through that first cycle of training for a bodybuilding show, I took a year and a half off and just trained and maintained, you know, I still prepped my meals and brought them into the gym and still very, very strict. Because once you see your body, and this is it, once you see your body at such a lean state, I mean, you're seeing veins that you never saw before and muscles that you never knew were there. You want to maintain that, but you can't maintain that kind of lifestyle. You start depriving your body and it starts literally eating itself. Mm. And then I trained for a second show, and this was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I remember standing on stage and it almost was like a flashback to when I was in high school and getting bullied and picked on and having six people standing in front of you judging you and picking apart all your flaws and who has a better this and who has a better that. And I remember the first show I did, I won. The second show I did not place nearly as well. And I stepped on stage and I was disappointed. But then I did a quick mindset shift. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be disappointed. I don't need to subject myself to a subjective event where people's opinions of me are based on their thoughts and not my beliefs. Mm-hmm. I didn't stay for the award ceremony. I literally put my clothes back on. I walked out the door and left. And I said, I'm never doing a show like this ever again. And I need to really get back to a normal type of life. And it took me about 2 years. But what really helped me, and it's interesting, you know, we're both in health and wellness, and I joined a company called Isagenics about 7 years ago. And getting on a wellness program like that, that retaught me a balance between healthy food and you can still have dessert and you can have ice cream, you can have cake during the holidays, you can have all these things. And I started to practice what I preached. I used to always tell my personal training clients, anything in moderation won't hurt you. Mm-hmm. So I started to turn the mirror around and realized, I said, you know what? If I'm going to teach this and preach this, I have to practice this. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me about 6.5 years, but I've now gotten myself to a place where I'm not perfect. You know, I still am. I internally can be very hard on myself and my body because, you know, I'm 41 and I don't have the body of a 41-year-old. I feel like I have the body of a 25-year-old, and that's, I want to keep it that way, but I have a glass of red wine every single night. I always have at least 2 to 3 pints of dairy-free ice cream in the refrigerator, in the freezer at all times. I don't restrict myself. I have cheat meals all the time because what I realize now is I have someone watching what I'm doing. My son is watching how I live my life. He's watching my habits. And the last thing that I want to do is to inherently pass down some sort of unhealthy food-related habit to him. So I don't want to restrict him. He's an athlete, so we're always running around shooting hoops together. But what I know is that when you develop certain types of issues, they're always there. They're never going to go away, but even if you're triggered in some way, shape, or form, when you can reprogram your thoughts, which I did, and what my anchor that I always come back to that always suppresses and makes me feel better is anything in moderation isn't going to kill me. So I know if I go off the reservation and I have something I shouldn't, it's okay. Because tomorrow is a new day to get back on track with what I know is good for me and my body. And for people that are listening to this, your body needs crap. Your body needs extra sugar sometimes. Your body needs extra fat sometimes and extra carbohydrates. So when you stop thinking about what you're eating and you just listen to your body and how it feels, your body will tell you what it likes and what it doesn't like. So I don't weigh anything anymore. I don't measure anything anymore. I don't limit myself to anything anymore. I just live life the way that it feels best to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff, Scott. That's good stuff. I mean, don't they say that we teach what we need to learn?
Yeah.
You know, I've learned that in this business is, you know, it's very similarly talking with others about not being afraid of food and not being afraid to have that cheat meal or, you know, the cakes or the glass of wine or, but yeah, I've had to come clean on that myself and just learn how to deal with that and get through that and realize that there's no, like you said, I mean, you're not perfect, but no, who is perfect? Nobody's perfect. And well, it's really
perfection doesn't exist anyway. So Stop striving for something that doesn't exist.
Right. Right. And I think it's, you know, it's very profound when we have others that are watching us that we love dearly. Again, sometimes we behave better for them than we will for ourselves, but that ain't a bad thing, you know? And it is, again, like you said, I mean, our body needs, I tell people, I mean, we have, our bodies need carbs and protein and fats. And especially if you're dealing with any kind of restrictive disorder, I mean, you're restricting and your brain needs a bunch of fats to operate so that we can think clearly and things like that. So, you know, we gotta find a balance there. And again, some really good things. And I just, again, it just keeps popping in my head. I mean, you have learned so much through your life and it hasn't been an easy life for you. But as I've met you in just the last, what, year? I mean, like I said in the beginning, I hold you in high regard. I think you're extremely successful and I know you are successful and you come on and you have that energy that I'm like, man, he's still going at it. I think you did a video last night and I was like, man, he's still up and he's still got that energy and moving the hands and all that. But it's great. That's great. It's really great. And so I just want to, you know, kind of wrap this up and I love to read books, although I have a stack that I haven't read. So, but I always ask people, are there any books that have made a big difference in your life that you're reading now or that you've read in the past?
You know, because this is more of a personal story, I don't want to make this about business, but if there's one book that I can recommend on a mindset level for people that are not in network marketing, you're not in business, like something that to really help you. It's a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And when I read this book very early on, when I started to practice personal development, it shifted everything for me because, you know, there's a lot, the book's incredible. He says a lot of incredible things, but the one thing that I always came back to from that book is that he said there's three types of people in this world. There's people that live in fear. There's people that live in anxiety. And there's people that live in peace. And he said that the people that live in fear are fearful of the future. They're always thinking about what hasn't happened yet. And then there's people that live in anxiety, where they're thinking about the past and they're replaying the same tape over and over again. And he said, then there's the people that live in peace. And the people that live in peace live in the now. And the now, right now, he said, you can't control what hasn't happened yet. You can't control what has already happened because it's already happened. But the one time that every human being can control is the present moment. And he said, the more that you can focus on being present and aware of what's going on right now, you will live in peace. And that is the greatest power you can ever have.
Hmm. That book's in our library. I haven't read it yet, but I think I'm going to put that on my stack. Thanks for that. And where can we find you? Where can the listeners find you so that if they want to connect with you, learn from you, follow you?
Yeah, my website houses a lot of my information, www.scottaron.net. I'm on all social media, most easily found on Facebook and LinkedIn under Scott Aron, and on Instagram at Scott Aron LinkedIn. So it's I love connecting with people. You know, I'm a human connection person. I thrive on that. So anyone that does want to connect and does want to learn more about what I do or just say hi and let me know your feedback from this interview, I would love to hear from you. And more so, Moira, thank you so much for thinking of me and having me on the show. And I can't wait to have you on mine, and just truly grateful for you and your friendship.
Yeah, thank you. Likewise. And again, thanks for joining us and thanks for listening, everybody. Again, make sure that you take care of yourself and be true to yourself, and reach out to others if you need some help. And again, thanks for coming back here to listen for what I hope is a big dose of hope that you can get every day as you listen. So take care and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski, or email me at moira@gorskiwellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.